Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holidays to you. The holiday season, Santa Claus is coming round. The winter snow is white on the ground. And when old Santa gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down. He'll be coming down the chimney down. It's the holiday season, Santa Claus has got a toy for every good girl and good little boy. He's got a great big bundle of joy. He'll be coming down the chimney down. He'll be coming down the chimney down. He's got a big fat pack upon his back and lots of goodies for you and for me. So leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick hanging on the Christmas tree. It's the holiday season.
It's the holiday season.
So whoop-dee-doo and hickory-dock. And don't forget to hang up your sock, cause just exactly at 12 o'clock, he'll be coming down the chimney, coming down the chimney, coming down the chimney down. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holidays.
Welcome to Small Bites with Glenn Gross and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Round spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. SpaghettiOs.
Hit it. Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs. I didn't realize. Let me redo that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs. This is Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. I'm Glenn Gross. And today is our last show of the year. And we've got some very special things happening. Special guests. I don't want to mention one right now, but I will mention one who's been away for a couple of weeks. And his name is
Derek Tim at BlueJeanFood.com. And yeah, it's been a month and a half I haven't been in studio.
Oh, you know, and it shows too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm much younger.
Yeah, but
happier.
You're just as ugly, so it doesn't matter.
Yes, that's true, unfortunately. But I sure am in the holiday spirit after that song.
Yeah,
from
Martina McBride.
Yeah. Happy holiday. It's the holiday season. And do you know what gets me all warm and fuzzy and in the holiday season?
We'll go there later.
Yes. Well,
PJs?
That and listening to my man, Pots and Pans, John Howard Fusco.
What's up, John?
Evening, guys. How are we all doing?
Good. Are you going to sing?
Oh, good Lord, no, I have a bit of a cold, so you definitely won't hear me sing right now.
We don't want to hear you sing anyway, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. All right, guys, let's talk about the food news from this past week. We want to talk about Giuseppe & Sons, which opened this past week on Samson Street. This is a joint venture between Chef Michael Schulzen and the Termini family. This place has two levels, and each level has a very distinct vibe to it. On top level, you have a bright, open luncheonette, and then below you have this more sepia-toned, upscale restaurant. You can check out the menu currently at Eater Philly. A couple of restaurant closings to mention. Talk and Rittenhouse closes after only being open since June of this year. And Magpie on South Street announced that they will be closing on December 23rd. They'll be serving their last pies at that time, and the chef owner is moving on to bigger and better things. What that will be, we don't know yet, so I want to mention a couple of those. Not closing, as it turns out, is the British Chip Shop in Haddonfield. According to NJ Penn, the new owner is also a British native and has over 30 years of cooking experience. Very excited to take over a British chip shop in Haddonfield. Congratulations to The Love, being named by Esquire magazine as one of the best new restaurants of 2018. In the category of you didn't know you needed it, but now you have to have it, there will be a coffee beer made with Wawa Coffee. This is the Winter Reserve Coffee Stout. It's a collaboration between Wawa and 2SP Brewing in Delco. According to Philly.com, the beer launch will be on December 6th at the Wawa in Chads Ford, which is actually the only Wawa that's able to sell beer. But it looks like the beer will be available in bars and liquor stores around southeast Pennsylvania. So if you're in New Jersey, you're going to have to cross the bridge to get it. Please take a moment to read Daniel Henninger's piece in Billy Penn about Katie Loeb, showing a leader in the Philly cocktail scene who is now in hospice care due to cancer. There's a GoFundMe account set up to help with hospital costs and also with funeral costs as well. She's been spending the last days of her life on this earth in hospice care, and people are going to see her and paying their respects. So take a look at that. These articles and more from the Philly food scene from this past week will be on my blog and share it on Twitter at EanSJersey, hashtag Small Bites Radio. And guys, wish everyone out there a happy holiday season. And that's it.
Well, John, and I have to tell you the hottest news of them all. Glenn actually brought in chicken and biscuits.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, look, as soon as I picked Derek up off the floor, all right, he went and dug right in.
So I think he felt guilty with the sad news, which Glenn may go into more at the end of the show or in a
I'll
second.
Do it now.
Yeah, we'll let Glenn talk about that. Yeah.
You know, I guess you guys know we closed the last two Fat Jacks. we're moving on to bigger and better things, too. Fat Jacks is not dead. I have two or three locations that we're looking at now. We also have a fried chicken concept that we're going to be putting together very shortly. My current what's that?
He didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought he said, okay, well, I'll be quiet.
He's waiting for applause, I guess.
I guess.
wait a minute. my landlord has three or four spots he wants to take. To do a fried chicken concept, and we have the menus are pretty much done. The recipes are almost finished, so we're working on that. And we have another spot for Fat Jack's Barbecue, probably down the street from Roosevelt Boulevard. I'm waiting on some answers now, and we've been at the Boulevard for 9 years. We've been Fat Jack's for 28 years, and Kevin and I just talked about it, and we decided maybe it's just time. We had staffing issues and so on and so forth, so now it was just time.
And we celebrated with chicken and biscuits.
Yes, we did.
A year and a half after it was promised.
If the fried chicken that you're going to be serving up is anything like this, I can say that the chicken is very tender and the outside is nice and crispy and it has a lot of flavor.
It's marinated. It's lightly breaded and it's
But thank you very much, John. We appreciate the news as usual, and we look forward to hearing what's hot and happening in the new year. Have a great night.
Take it easy, buddy.
Have a good evening.
Have a good one.
Take care now.
Now, the person who was just complimenting Glenn's fried chicken and just he's literally floating over the
did you see the earphones just swell out?
Mm-hmm. Is Amaris Pollock.
Did you get it right?
No. By the end of it, I'm going to hear you call me like Amethyst, Aramis, Amoroso.
We'll just call you A. Pollock.
Just tell him how to say it, please, because he asked you once already.
Well,
the
problem was I didn't have enough time to remember the name properly because she has so many titles.
She's a
photographer, journalist, blogger. It was so much.
What does that have to do with her first name?
Well, I couldn't remember everything. But we'll let her describe what's going on, what's hot and happening.
Tell them how to pronounce your name first.
Okay? All right. So my name is always mispronounced, so I'll answer pretty much to anything. But Amaris is how you pronounce it.
You sure that's right?
Yes, I'm positive.
We did mispronounce one of our own staff for 2 years.
Yes, we did.
John Howard Fusco, we used to call him.
Yeah, but it's really John Howard Fusco.
Well, that's how I would naturally say it, so I'd be safe.
That's all right.
So tell us how you have all of these different titles and your business about and around Philadelphia.
My hands are dipped into just about anything. I started out creating recipes of all things, and then it kind of snowballed into my covering events and restaurant openings and, by the end of it, I'm now a photographer, journalist, and blogger. I contribute to Philly Grub. I was contributing to Philly Bite, but now...
And now you're a radio personality.
And now, yes, and now I'm a radio personality. And let's see where I'm going to go next.
TV is the natural move.
Yeah, I have actually spoken to somebody about that, so...
Oh, cool. Want to share?
Not just yet.
But she does want to share about some hot happenings in Philadelphia.
Yes, there's a lot of stuff going on in the city of Philadelphia. There's a Very Philly Christmas that's running four special days of special events. Two have passed, sadly. But there are still two more on December 8th and December 9th. Neighbors Day, which you can go on a bus and take a tour that starts at the Art Museum. It will bring you around to the different historic homes in Fairmount Park of Lemon Hill Mansion, Laurel Hill Mansion, Historic Strawberry Hill Mansion. Sorry. The Woodford Mansion. I hear the word Woodford and I just think of bourbon. So it gets caught there. And then Cedar Grove Mansion. And they decorated all the mansions with, you know, Christmas decor. So it's like a winter wonderland, no matter which one you go to. And they'll have things like the Neighbors Day is going to be a bunch of, you know, community members that own businesses, and they'll have events. So there's going to be a pottery workshop at one of them, and there's going to be like events with kids can go to. And then on Flavors of the Season, they're going to have a bunch of different tastings at each individual spot. And then new to this tour this year that they debuted on Friday is a ice bar that's located at the Lemon Hill Mansion.
Yes.
There's going to be fire pits, and they have local brews that they serve up. And then on Friday nights, there is a local mixologist who kind of has a little bit of fame on his own, and his name is Nate Weigert. And he created cocktails specifically for this.
Nice. Sounds exciting.
Then... not to skip over, because I actually want to introduce Tobias over there, and there's the Christmas Village.
Look at that. She's taking over the host duties. Hey,
Derek, natural.
Let's go. Ready? I can take the night off.
Yeah, what the hell?
There's the Christmas Village that's going on right now in Center City at Love Park. And Tobias, of course, you saw me on the tour, so I got to see a little preview of it. There are definitely some favorites that are already out there for me. Such as the Chatsworth Winery, the Mulled Wine, the Alm, which is going to be a sit-down situation where you can actually go and enjoy yourself, have a beer from one of the local breweries, and pretzels.
I mean, it's a fantastic event, and I mean, we're definitely going to get more into that, but you also have a contest for people as well, correct?
Yes, that is true. If you go to Instagram, for anybody who follows Instagram or partakes in it, Blue Sushi, spelled in a different way. It's BLEU Sushi.
Ooh, I can pronounce. Ooh, I can still pronounce it blue,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Either way you spell it, I'll get that one right.
I was waiting for him to say blue.
No, it's blue. So Blue Sushi is actually having a giveaway. And if you follow them and repost one of their posts that for the contest, you are in the running for a $300 gift card that you can go to their restaurant and order anything off the menu, and it's covered because it's $300 that you can eat for days. Or, you know, bring your friends and...
Well, I guess it depends what you order. That may just be one sit down for me.
Oh, no. It's actually really one sit down for you. I take it you eat a lot.
Especially if it's on the house. We're going to have a good meal.
Yeah.
But, well, those were some exciting tips. Thank you so much for sharing those. And as you mentioned, we do have Tobias in studio. And his name's Tobias Fisher, and he is the PR and social media manager for Christmas Village. And he also brought along one of his friends who's across the street in the Made in America, Philadelphia market. Yeah. And she is the owner and producer of Local Artisan Foods, a.k.a. the Auntie Anne's of French Toast.
Thank you.
So, Tobias, tell us about the Christmas Village as, let's see if I get it right, Amorous?
Yes! What?
Oh, my God!
Was mentioning this has really become a Philadelphia tradition, this German market right at Love Park. It started off and people really connected with this, and now it's something that everyone looks forward to. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. You already mentioned it. It's year 11 this year, so we come back for 11 years now. For me personally, it's my third year coming back to Philly, and yeah, the Christmas Village is again in Love Park. We're super happy that the park is ready this year. It was kind of a problem last year because it was still under construction, but this year it's great. I mean, the new layout is way more open than the last years, and we were able to bring new stuff, a new decor, for example, the beer garden that we already heard. It's a seating area where you can sit down and like actually like talk to people and enjoy and just talk about what's going on and grab a beer, because we have for the first time ever in 11 years beer at the market. For that we partnered up with Bar Hygge from Fairmount Avenue, and they have IPAs, lagers, but also some kind of special winter beers, and there's just so much going on, and we're happy to be back in Love Park.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that families and lovebirds go out for a night, and it's really turned into a tradition because you have theme weekends that are full of live mm-hmm. music and entertainment. You have a visit from the original German Christkind of the with the opening ceremony every single year.
Yes.
And I know that's packed. I mean,
it is. It's the first official weekend that we have, and we bring the Christkind because we don't have Santa Claus in Germany. So that's our German Santa Claus. It's some kind of a Christmas angel. And we actually bring her from Germany because it's an official role that has in Germany. So we fly her in to open our market, which is...
Now, how do you become christened for that role? Is there like an
audition?
Yeah, kind of. It is.
So. I didn't know if it was like the Dalai Lama, that they're born into it or something.
Well, you were born into this.
It's almost like Miss America. No, it's from the biggest market in Germany. It's the city of Nuremberg. And the Christkind actually has to live in that city and then can like just apply for the role. And then there's like a contest. And then in the end, like they choose like 12 finalists, I think. And then one in the end gets it.
Nice. Nice.
Were you in the running?
Yes, I was. But I didn't make it.
Do you have a favorite? Well, first of all, do you get to taste any of the beers?
I do.
Do you have a favorite?
I do.
All of them?
Yeah.
All of them?
There you go. Well,
no, I would say my favorite is the Kenzinger because I'm a lager fan.
Okay.
They had I can't remember which one it was, but they have a beer that has the winter, like the mold, that mold wine taste in it. And I got to try that the other day. It's amazing.
But the good thing is if the beer mold wine doesn't do it for you, you have actual mold wine.
We have actual one. It's from Chatsford Winery. They are our partners and they bring their holiday special wine. And I mean, it's a great thing to have wine at the market, but then have warm wine at the market that like warms you up when it's cold outside and you can walk around, like get it in a mug, a collector's mug, and the mug changes every year. So you can grab a wine and just walk across the street or like walk around Love Park and just enjoy the season.
And what's better? What else goes better with wine than cheese? Which you brought the cheese with you
did.
Tonight. So
it's called Brusto.
I got
a name wrong after 2 years, Derek. Be quiet.
Let's call it baked cheese. That makes it easier.
How do you say it?
Brunusto.
I did it right.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
But also, with any great location for tourists, the must, which they do have, is photos with Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to have a Christmas-themed event, you got to have the big guy in red there. If not, I mean, what's the purpose of really going?
Well, you're sitting there, a big guy in red, now red shirt, little beard.
Mm, yeah, that works for me. We just need to put...
I'm a Santa in training.
Santa Derek.
Now,
Derek Claus.
With the Santa that's going to be coming for the photo op, is that going to happen at the big present that was lit up?
Santa has its own hut.
That's right. He Santa doesn't just go for anything. He's got his own hut.
Yeah, that's just like Derek. He has his own hut, too.
He has his own fireplace, his own hut. And he also takes photos with puppies, so it's not only families that
so
take photos.
So does Derek.
Just have to ask nicely. But I know one thing that Santa's really going to enjoy this year. Probably one of his favorite things is he's going to take a little 10 to 15 minute break to go from the Christmas village
to
the Made in Philadelphia market. And he's going to visit Charisse McGill with her fantastic French toast bites. Ooh, were they delicious. They were
good. I'm glad you enjoyed them.
Yeah, they're like breakfast orgasms.
Excuse
me? Say that?
You just did.
You just did, and it's fine with me. I might tag that. I might use it as a hashtag.
If you're listening, everybody.
So, tell us how these delicious bites came about.
I mean, you know, my household, French toast is a favorite. Anytime I go out to brunch with friends, I order the French toast. I have a lot of brunches. I host a lot at my home. I'll say, Charisse, make the French toast.
I haven't got an invite yet.
I would love to have you. All my entertainment spaces are fires, so I like to eat French toast by the fire most Sundays. So I'm like, cool, let's do this. Let's make French toast a little fun so people can eat it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, brunch. And that's kind of what we did, but we deep fry it so it can hold its consistency and texture. Then you can load it up. We have whipped cream, fresh strawberries. Like, we cut all this stuff right on site in front of the customers so they can see this is handmade, like, really made in Philadelphia.
And this is your first year.
It's our first 5 months, baby.
So how was the jitters? I mean, that's a large undertaking. Normally, kicking off a business, you start a little small, and then you got your friends and family come around, and you say, oh, try this, and everybody congratulates you. But you're going, as you said, you love fire. You're going right into the fire of a large market.
I've been around the block a few times.
So how many servings of French toast bites do you do a day?
A slow day, 150.
Wow. How about a busy day?
250.
That's good. How about a really busy day?
I haven't seen one of those yet.
You will.
No, we're doing pretty good. I mean, we have a line.
That's pretty good.
I mean, it's exciting. You know, you can see my staff in the back actually hand-cutting the bread and the bite-sized pieces. We have fresh strawberries. You can see them washing them and cutting them right there in front of you. I mean, how much more can you get made in Philadelphia than making French toast in front of City Hall? You can't get too much more made in Philadelphia.
Can you get the product out quickly enough?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have another fryer coming because that's how serious it's getting. Okay. So we're excited about it.
Cool.
We're cooking. Kids love it. I love date nighters because they like to share it and they get two forks.
Now, people are coming for entertainment reasons. And something that a lot of people don't know about you is that you always wanted to be a rapper.
Do you know my friend? Who told you this?
So that could be entertaining. Like, you could be known as the rapping French toast bite
lady.
Local artisan food.
That's a long title.
Well, I mean, it's almost as many titles as you had.
I have her rapper name.
I'm ready.
Freaky Frenchie.
Frankie Frenchie.
No, Freaky Frenchie.
Freaky Frenchie.
Freaky Frenchie.
Oh, I can't
double
like
F,
that.
Baby. Double F.
So would you want to be more?
The toast of the town.
Do you like freestyle rap? Or
I haven't freestyled probably since about 60 pounds ago, maybe in high school.
I think we should hear something, don't you guys?
Oh,
French toast with the most.
French, there you go.
Do we have a way to drop a beat?
Come over, cut up this loaf. No, that's enough. My friends are going to kill me after listening to this. Like, they're going to literally
kill me. Wait till you hear it when you play it back tomorrow.
So, 5 months. So what were you doing 5 months ago?
I just resigned a week ago from my full-time job as the director of special events at Valley Forge Military Academy and College. But I'm not new to the food industry. I managed the Lansdale Farmers Market for the past 6 years. I'm going to continue to do so. So this upcoming season, 2019, will be my seventh. I learned a lot from those independent food producers there. I'm halfway through my MBA program at St. Joe's Food Marketing Program. A lot of support.
Nice. I know
tons
somebody,
of support there.
I know somebody that wants to send their son to Valley Forge Military Academy.
Oh,
is it worth
me.
It?
It's, I think it's worth it for sure. Talk to me. Check this out.
Go ahead.
Have them come to Made in Philadelphia next Sunday. I have the cadets come in to visit me. They
Where?
Already...
Right.
At French Toast. They're
oh,
coming
cool.
to get French. That's how supportive the school was
wow.
of this new adventure and new endeavor that I was having. They threw me a huge party at the president's house.
Wow.
No, I'm
wow.
talking about beef Wellington shrimp cocktail party.
Wow.
That's how excited they were for me. And then I got an email last week. They're bringing cadets down
cool.
next Sunday for French Toast.
If you're listening, nice. I know who you are.
So come down and you'll meet some of the administration if they come down.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Then they'll be at my booth. Yeah.
Very now, cool. speaking of your booth, I'm actually curious, since you're, you know, seeing an increase of foot traffic, are you planning on having a brick and mortar open?
No. No way.
Don't.
No way.
Don't.
Brick and mortars are death traps. That's a death sentence. No, thank you. we will be opening March 1st at the Philadelphia Premium Outlet Mall next to Ann Taylor, right at the 50-yard line.
Okay.
That's why I'm the Auntie Ann's of French Toast. When you're... idols become your rivals. So we'll be right there at the 50 line mark in Limerick, Pennsylvania. We're very excited for that. So we close January 1st at Made in Philadelphia. Take a month to regroup, and we'll start building out and at the mall.
What
our
drew
first mall.
You to Made in Philadelphia? Did you reach out to them, or did they reach out to you?
I've managed two businesses for the past 2 years. And Made in Philadelphia. I saw the numbers, but I never had a product. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm an independent food marketer. You know, that's where a lot of my income have come from the past 7 years. So I was that, but I never had a product. Now I have a product.
There you go.
And it's a great
it's pretty
product.
Damn good too.
So now we're going to put Tobias on the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pick the French Toast Bites because obviously she's in studio. So if you said,
I would beat him up. And he's my ride. So I can't
what,
do that.
What is your favorite food vendor out of both the village or the market?
Ooh.
Ooh.
No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure.
No pressure.
I see you.
We've already said he can't pick you. Obviously, right. We all know you would be choice
she,
number
she just
one.
Threw a fork
but we eliminated that. So, you know.
Very good. Very good.
Let's start at Christmas Village. I would say it's the cheese guys. They have this amazing Swiss cheese. It's like some kind of cow's milk cheese, and it's fashioned into a wheel. And then that wheel like melts the cheese, so you scrap it off and put it on a sandwich. Mm. And it's really good. And I know it from home. Like, I'm from Germany, and it's like a European tradition. It comes from Switzerland, so it kind of reminds me of home. So that's why I would say it's my favorite.
And that's the baked cheese house?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen any of the videos that are on Instagram or social media.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good choice indeed, my friend. But do you know what else is a fantastic choice, Glenn?
No, let's hear this one, Derek.
A fantastic choice would be to go out and purchase a holiday item like we played at the beginning of the show
mm-hmm.
from Martina McBride. And then go out and purchase her cookbook and listen to her music
yep.
while you're going through
which
the cookbook.
I actually did.
And then the even better option is to have her join you on phone and talk about both of these things. How's it going tonight, Martina?
It's great. How are you?
Hi, Martina.
We are doing great.
Hi.
Now, I want to thank you because we, as our listeners do know, we did have a little mix-up for
yes.
our last show. Glenn was in studio, but I wasn't here. So I want to
thank. That was the mix up.
So I want to thank you for waiting until I was actually in studio to join us.
Of course.
That was the plan.
But you are a country music icon. There's no if, and, or buts about that. You'll be into the Country Music Hall of Fame before you know it. But. What other people, what others don't know about you is that you are a huge foodie as well. And your latest book, Martina's Kitchen Mix, it is wonderful. How did the cookbook come about?
Well, it's actually my second cookbook, and I, you know, it's interesting. I love to cook for my family and friends. I'm really a home cook. I'm not a trained chef. I've never been to culinary school. I just love to cook. And, you know, people would say over the years, you should write a cookbook. You should write a cookbook. And I thought, that would be interesting to do someday. And so I just did it. I just pitched an idea for a cookbook and released my first book, Around the Table. And then I got the opportunity to write a second one, which is Martina's Kitchen Mix, which is out right now. And, you know, for me, it's just a way of sharing. It's another side of, it's another passion that I have that I want to share with people. And I just love sharing recipes and cooking.
In the book, do you have any particular recipe that is your favorite that you make?
Yeah, I have a recipe in the book for, it's very simple and basic, but it's a pot roast. And I only make it on special occasions. I like to have food memories around food. You know, I think it's like if you make it all the time, it kind of becomes common. So I make this pot roast on Christmas. And like if my girls come home from California and they want something really comforting and home cooked. And it's actually a recipe that my mom taught me how to make. It was handed down from her. And she always made it when we were kids. And so for me, it's absolute comfort food. You know, it just takes me right back home.
Martina, let me ask you a question. You're a country superstar, your mom, your family. Where did you find time to put a cookbook together?
While touring,
on the bus, on the plane. The book is absolutely amazing. The recipes are incredible. I've tried a couple already, and they're spectacular. Absolutely spectacular.
Oh, thanks. You know, it took a long time. It took about a year to write this book. And a lot of it was just making the recipes and perfecting them and trying them out on my family. They had to eat everything that I tried out. And some of them, you know, didn't make the book. But as far as time goes, I just, you know, when I'm home, I'm pretty much a homebody. So I just stay in my house and I cook family dinner, you know, a few nights a week. And so I just kind of did it in my off time. And then I did pack it up, you know, I wrote most of it on my computer so I can do it on airplanes and in hotel rooms and on the tour bus.
Now, obviously, you have gone through all of the different realms of the entertainment industry. You've done recording, you've done television, you've done live shows. Which one would you say, because you even have a show on the Food Network called Martina's Table. Which one would you say that you like the most? Do you like going into the studio? Do you like performing live on stage? Or do you like the comforts of doing television? Because we all know on set, they make things very, very comfortable for you. It's, oh, could I have this? Well, certainly. And somebody runs over where, to me, I think that would be the most comforting. But I find that a lot of people who do music and television, they always say performing in front of a live audience because nothing to them can duplicate that rush of having people cheer. What is it for you that you enjoy the most out of all of those?
Well, I like them for different reasons. I love going in the studio because I love creating. So for me, you know, I'm very involved in producing my records. So it's just this, you start out with a blank slate, really, and you can just kind of create sonically and instrumentally whatever picture you want to paint. So that's always a lot of fun for me. But performing live, I love because you do get that instant gratification. But also, I love touring with my band and crew. I've been doing this for 25 years, and most of my band and crew have been with me a really long time. My tour manager starts his 25th year.
Wow,
that's a long time.
My musical director has been with me 22 years. So it's like, at this point, you know, we've traveled all over the world together, and it's like family. And so we have a lot of fun, and it's just fun to go on the road and get on the tour bus and hang out at the venue. And I mean, it's, you know, yeah, it's a
fun.
Great lifestyle.
Now, you're around the Nashville area, and I was just there in July. And I have to say, I didn't know that Nashville had such a food scene. It was fabulous. And one of the things that sort of really I enjoyed the most that people will probably laugh at that are from Nashville was I love the Goo Goo Cluster Shop. Good golly. Everybody what in studio is looking at me like I'm crazy, Martina.
He is.
But
what is that shop?
Goo Goo Clusters, they were the first combination candy bar. And I don't know how they are not as well known as Hershey and Mars and all of these. And it was fabulous. What is your thought on the Goo Goo Cluster?
You know, I don't know if I've ever had a Goo Goo
I think you're alone on that one.
Now.
They are right across the street from the Johnny Cash Museum, and I'm telling you, it is a slice of wonder at this location.
It sounds like you have to go try one of those.
I'm definitely
going to
have to try one of those, for sure.
It is delicious. And
Nashville is really... I'm just sorry to interrupt, but yeah, Nashville is really growing as a food scene. It's, well, of course, our whole city is growing so fast. I literally don't recognize my own city half the time. But yeah, the upside of it is we're getting a lot of great restaurants.
Yeah, and one of them that I visited was Husk. I don't know if you've visited Husk as well, but that was definitely a highlight, and Pickett's on 6th, I think, for their fried chicken. I could just go on. About my eating adventures here.
Well, but I was actually just thinking, you know, of things to highlight. She has that on some of the recipes, ad libs. Do you want to go further into that? Ad libs per your recipes?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just. You know, as I was writing the book and as I was picking the recipes, and some of them have been, like I said, have been handed down, I just started thinking about all the different ways you can make these recipes and change them up. And I, up until about pretty recently, actually, last few years, I was just a total recipe follower. Like, I would just follow the recipe. And then, you know, the more you cook and the more experience that you get, you start to feel more comfortable experimenting and making things your own. And, so I wanted to encourage the people who read the book to do that. So we just, I just put a lot of variations and ad libs in the book. I feel like I'm also a big advocate of like a lot of bang for your buck. So even though it says there's 100 recipes, with all the variations and ad libs, it's actually a lot more than that.
I'm looking right now, and it's such a simple recipe: John's bacon wrapped olives. And there's, it's like, oh my goodness, it's like, it's three or four ingredients and that's it. And then you can change it up with jalapeno, garlic, blue cheese, stuffed olive, doesn't matter. But it's so simple. It's three steps and you're done.
Yeah.
And it looks like, and it looks great. Who's John?
He's my husband. He's my husband, and he cooks a few things, but those are like something from his childhood. Oh, I'd never heard of him before.
I'm telling you.
He got married, but now he makes them. Yeah, and they're really, really tasty.
They look really,
all you do
really
is wrap a bacon around an olive and grill it. And,
yeah,
that's enough reason enough to marry him.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
They look really. I'm telling you, I went through this whole book. Derek decided that he wasn't going to be here last week, and he forgot to give me your book. So I went out and bought a book, and I did keep it. And I've gone through the whole book, and I am. Amazed. I mean, they're so great.
Well, I mean, some of them, cheddar biscuits with bacon, as Glenn always says,
bacon is its own food group.
And everything's always better with bacon. Sparkling grapefruit mimosas, whipped feta crostinis, roasted garlic, tomatoes, and fresh herbs, baked olive cheese dip. And we also have the local artisan foods here with us, who's at the Philadelphia, Made in Philadelphia Mark, and she does French toast bites at the market. So she's probably really, really going to enjoy your baked French toast with pecan crumble and blackberry maple syrup.
Oh, for sure. Ooh.
Yeah, see, that sounds really good.
That tickles my fancy.
And she's going the opposite route, where you went with music first, and now you're very food-centric. She is food-centric first, and she has dreams of becoming a rapper. So, as you...
A rapper?
We're meeting in the middle. We're going to meet in the middle, Martina.
So maybe, who knows, maybe a collaboration one day when you come to Philadelphia. It could be your next album.
So, Martina, quick question for you. If you're home at Christmas, what's your Christmas meal?
What's my Christmas what?
Meal.
Meal?
Mm-hmm. What are you going to prep?
Okay, so I always make chicken. I always make chicken and sausage gumbo on Christmas.
Oh, nice.
So on Christmas Day, I make the pot roast, mashed potatoes, and grapes. I put in some cooked, you know, carrots in there with the pot roast. Some rolls, and I make this thing called a fluff salad, which is also in the book. That's just this recipe that's been from my childhood, really. It's kind of odd, but it's one of our holiday staples. Wow. And yeah, so that's our.
And is that the way that you wrap up the holiday season with the fluff salad?
Yeah.
Can we come to your house for Christmas, please?
We'll bring the Goo Goo clusters, I promise.
Yeah, and I'll bring some barbecue.
But Martina, I have to say, it was such a pleasure talking to you. I mean, let's listen to this. Number one hits, 20 top 10 singles, more than 18 million albums sold, 14 gold, 9 platinum, 2 triple. She has the book out, Martina's Kitchen Mix. She also has a brand new holiday album, It's the Holiday Season. She has a show on the Food Network, Martina's Table. Do you want to share any websites, social media, or anything about the tour before you go?
Sure, yeah. It's just Martina McBride. I'm super easy to find on, and I'm really involved on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook are the three that I... And I do my own, so it's really me. And I post pictures of, you know, obviously I use it to promote stuff, but I also put personal things up there. I like to share kind of a glimpse of my real life. And so you can follow me on those, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And what else is that? Oh, yeah, the tour. Yeah, we're wrapping up next week. We're wrapping up our Joy of Christmas tour. We did 10 dates with symphonies all over the place, and it's just been... so much fun to bring the new music, you know, the new album to life on stage and get to sing some new Christmas songs. Cause my last album came out 20 years ago, the Christmas album. So I've been touring on that every Christmas for about 10 or 12 years or longer. So it's nice to have new songs played from It's the Holiday Season, the new album.
Well, we wish you and your family a happy holiday season and a wonderful happy new year for 2019. And if you're ever in the Philadelphia area, give us a shout,
absolutely.
And we'll make sure we give you some good food tips to have while you're in the area. Have a great night.
Take care.
I would love that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No Thank problem. You.
And good luck on your tour.
All right,
have a good
Take
one.
Care.
That would be quite a collaboration.
I'm going to follow her on Instagram. I hope she follows me back and so we can talk about laying down some tracks.
That was great.
And I definitely want to pick this book up.
Yeah.
It does look good.
That was legit. You and I have been doing this for, what, 2.5 years already?
Yeah.
This was probably the...
Let's put this. Well, I never saw a grown man cry when Martina didn't call in last time.
Yeah, it was Garrett. Seriously, it was probably one of the top three. We've interviewed and talked to some top celebrities. I mean, Paul Sorvino and the amazing Kreskin and just a bunch of others.
Bo Jackson. Mm. Byron Mixon.
Yeah,
the list goes on and on.
This was probably my favorite.
Yeah, well, I'm happy, Merry Christmas, Glenn.
Thank you. And Derek,
and she's
Merry
nice.
I just gave him more chicken and biscuits.
She's very easy to talk to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's the part that I like about food. No matter where you're from in the world, food always brings you together.
For sure.
She was just a regular person.
Yeah.
Really, just chatting back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, otherwise it would have been a real weird interview if she didn't talk, Glenn.
Well, we kind of sometimes don't want you to talk, but you do anyway. So, you know.
But I would say from Germany, Tobias, what would you say is your favorite sort of tradition in Germany? Because we all know Germany has the Christmas markets. You mm-hmm. have Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. which is huge in Germany. What's your favorite sort of... thing from back home in Germany?
I mean, you already mentioned probably the two biggest traditions, the Oktoberfest and the Christmas market. And since I'm from Munich, where like the original Oktoberfest is happening, I would still go with the Christmas switch.
Good choice. Good choice. But
save on airfare.
Yeah. And the one thing that I really enjoyed when I was over in Germany, which we have it here in the States, but I wouldn't say as high of as a quality, is iced wine. I found really good iced wine in Germany down in the Rhine Valley area. And I always wonder why that isn't something that has taken off more in the States.
It's ultra sweet.
Oh, super sweet.
It's like drinking syrup.
But it's great for a dessert.
It's it's great for a dessert. You know, it's like spiked dessert.
Yeah. It makes the end of
add
the
it,
meal.
Add it to the French toast.
I mean, let's do
there
it.
There you go.
Let's do it.
She's up for any collaboration.
Barbecue French toast.
Barbecue French toast?
Yeah.
So what is...
I'll make it work.
What is the busiest day at the village? How many people come through the village on its busiest day? Do you have any idea?
That's hard. I mean, the weekends are always busy because of the themes and because of people being free on weekends. I would say we have like... over the whole season, a million people at the village. So you can do the math and break it down.
Divided by 40.
That's way too much for me.
We get our butts kicked on Saturdays. Yeah. Like, and Christmas Eve.
And what's the hours for each market? Are they the same?
It's the same hours, yeah. It's Sunday through Thursday, it's 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And on Friday and Saturday, it's an additional hour, so it's till 8 p.m.
And you also make sure it's lively during the week, too, because you have a Friday lunch concert series from 12 to 1 every week.
Yeah, we have actually more weekday activities just to like have something going on the weekdays so that people also come out on a Monday, for example, a Tuesday. So we have wine tastings when Chatsford brings different wines, and then you have cheese samples and chocolate and can actually try the wines, and they give you like a history tour and talk about the wines. We also do that for the beer, so we have beer tastings and the lunch concert series. So there's actually a lot going on the weekdays too, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, it is a wonderful event without a doubt. But we have someone online with us who also knows all about the hot happenings in and around Philadelphia. And that would be our very special guest, Irene Levy-Baker, who is the author of 100 Things to Do in Philadelphia Before You Die, the owner of Spotlight Public Relations, but also she brings us this holiday season the perfect stocking stuffer, Unique Eats and Eateries of Philadelphia.
Mm.
Hello, how is it going, Irene?
Great, I'm so happy to be here with you tonight.
Well, I'm glad somebody is.
None of us are.
So, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We know that you have a lot of clients in Philadelphia, and you do a lot of good of getting the word out of great places to eat. But you really did a lot of research into this new book to find some unique eats and eateries of Philadelphia and some of their backstories. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Unique Eats and Eateries of Philadelphia tells the stories behind 90 Philadelphia restaurants. It tells about restaurants that have been handed down through generations, restaurants that have been destroyed and rebuilt after fires, earthquakes, and one that even survived Prohibition. It tells about secret speakeasies and all kinds of great love stories and even a divorce story. So if you like restaurants, it tells their stories. Plus, it's full of tips like how to get into speakeasies, where to get free soup, and how to get reservations at those trendy restaurants.
Oh, see, that is the kind of tips that we all need. Now, what part of the book was the most difficult to research?
The most difficult to research? Well, let me think about that. There were some chefs that were a little hard to track down because chefs aren't 9-to-5 guys that are behind their computers all day. They're working in the kitchen, you know, they're busy. So I'd say the hardest part of the book in general was sometimes you know, connecting with those chefs. But once I did, and they shared their stories, sometimes it was just magical.
What's a hidden gem in Philadelphia that you would recommend that you think most people wouldn't know about?
Oh, there's so many great hidden gems, like Sauté Campar on East Passyunk in South Philadelphia.
I love them.
Yeah, it's Malaysian. Or Saraya, a new Lebanese restaurant in Fishtown, which is an incredible place to
best
eat right
brunch.
Now.
That's the best brunch.
or Frida, which is... Frida is a restaurant, but also almost a community center. They have sandwiches and pastries, and they have communal dinners, and they have language classes in lots of different languages, and they have art classes, and they have movies, and they have trips. So it's a restaurant, but it's so much more, and there's no sign, so you wouldn't necessarily know it's even there. It's on Walnut between 3rd and 4th.
Hmm.
Now, you also have in there in Philadelphia, I remember this used to happen quite a bit in the 80s, the mob hits in Philadelphia. It's no fun anymore. The mob's...
I do have that. Well,
it's kind of slow these days. I mean...
Do we need to bring back the speakeasies?
The mob hit that I describe in the book is actually a failed mob hit. On Halloween night in 1989... Nicoderm Scarfa was having dinner at Dante and Luigi's, and a man came in dressed like Batman and pulled a gun out of his trick-or-treat bag and shot Nicoderm 6 times. The good news is that Nicoderm survived. The bad news is that he ended up in prison for 30 years.
Oh. The Man of Steel.
Literally.
But I will tell you that Dante and Luigi's not only attracts the infamous, but also now attracts the famous.
Yeah.
Joe Biden has a house account there. Taylor Swift ate there and left a $200 tip. And John Travolta and his wife, Kelly Preston, had dinner there recently. Now, ironically, they were there promoting John's new movie, which is about the mob.
Gotti.
Gotti.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got it.
We got it.
Winner. Gold star for us.
You got it.
But, I mean, this is the wonderful thing that your book is bringing to us, because Philadelphia really has grown into itself as a food-centric town. We were really the ugly stepchildren of many others like Washington, D.C. and New York City. But we have come into our own.
No more.
Exactly. And you,
absolutely.
And you are able to spotlight all of these places, whether it's a hidden gem or something that two chocolatiers got engaged with. I'm sure that probably happens quite a bit in the restaurant industry, that someone likes someone else. But these are the sort of things that when you're eating someplace or dining, you wonder, like, I wonder what happened here or how the restaurant was created. What was the story that drew you the most with, say, personal feelings, that you personally felt attached to the story?
Oh, well, you mentioned the chocolatiers that got engaged, and their story is really special. That's John and Kira from John and Kira's Chocolates. They make the bumblebees and the ladybugs. You can get them at farmers markets and at DeBruno Brothers.
Christmas Village.
Their story is really special. The first month that they went into business, they were on the cover of Gourmet magazine, and it was the Valentine's Day issue, and they were named the best chocolate in America. The fact checker called John and said, "Are you married?" And John said, "No, but leave it in the issue." And when the first issue came out, he handed it to Kira across the dinner table with a diamond ring taped inside.
Oh,
that's nice.
I mean, if that doesn't make their sweets even sweeter, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I mean, I see Tobias. He's wiping his... He's with us. You definitely got him on. Now you're going to have to get the book, Tobias, to get all other 89 stories. She gave you that one for free.
Right.
But you're well known in the Philadelphia area for representing a lot of quality restaurants and such in Philadelphia. Did you get any flack from any of your restaurant friends that you represent who said, hey, I got a story. Let's make sure that I'm in the book. Or did you get the opposite of, hey, what about me? I would have liked to be in the book. Is it difficult to be a publicist and then write a book like this?
Well, so the publisher told me there should be 90 restaurants in the book. And the hardest part was picking which 90 restaurants those would be. So I cheated. There are actually 254 restaurants in the book.
Oh,
and
pick it up. Tell them.
Yes, I actually counted. I actually counted them all, and there are 254 because I have lists of the things that people ask. Like I have a list of great places for brunch and a list of places for private dining. I have a list of places you can get vegan or vegetarian or gluten-free because those are the kind of things people need to know.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I put in as many restaurants as I thought would be helpful to the readers.
I mean, that is the way to do it.
And interesting to them.
And that is why you have been so successful. And we definitely wish you the best of luck in all of your future endeavors. And we want 2019 to be as special as this year was. Unique Eats and Eateries of Philadelphia. We want everybody to go out and purchase. As we mentioned, it is the perfect stocking.
Can I tell them the best place to get the book?
Sure.
The best place to get it is on the book's website, which is www.uniqueeatsphilly.com. If they go to uniqueeatsphilly.com and tell me that they heard about it on your show, I will sign it for them, which makes it a sort of nifty gift.
Yeah, that is wonderful.
And they can give it alone or they can give it with a restaurant gift certificate. A lot of people tell me they're doing that.
Yeah, that is a great idea to give the book with a gift certificate. Great idea. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you as usual. Do you have any other social medias or anything like that that you would like to share before you go?
Yeah, sure. People can follow updates on my Facebook and Instagram are 100 Things to Do in Philadelphia. And on Twitter, it's 100 Philly.
Thank you so much.
I have work with both books, 100 Things to Do in Philadelphia Before You Die and Unique Eats and Eateries of Philadelphia on those social media platforms.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Outstanding.
Have a great holiday season.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for having me on. Bye-bye.
Hey, Tobias, I have a question.
Yes.
So how does a vendor, food vendor, such as Fat Jack's, get involved in the market?
They have forms to fill out.
They have forms to fill out. They can reach out to us. They can reach out to us via email, and then we can have a talk about it.
Cool.
Now, for vendors,
mm-hmm.
I know a lot of spaces that have vendors on a wait list. Do you guys have that?
We do. Yes, we do.
You better put your form in now, Glenn.
Here you go, right here.
What would you say is the most difficult part of running the village in a major metropolitan area?
I would say it's the simple fact that it's an outdoor event. And
it's been raining almost every day.
Yes. And then it gets hard when it comes to power and electricity, when it's all wet. So I would say that's the hardest part. Therese knows it.
Now, you're in the 11th year, so probably a lot of the bumps and things like that have been ironed out. But good relationship with the city of Philadelphia?
Yeah, they're super supportive, and it's great to come back and like work together. And that makes it easier for us.
That's great. Well, do you have any social medias or anything like that you would like to share?
Yes, we do. So for Christmas Village, it's Phila Christmas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and also the website. It's www.philachristmas.com. And for the Made in Philly Market, it's Made in Phila and Phila Holidays.
very nice, and that is Tobias Fisher, the PR and social media manager for Christmas Village. And Charisse McGill, do you have anything that you would like to share before we go?
Like, yeah, she wants to be a rapper. Oh, no. Get in the first place?
I come down, check us out. You'll have a great experience. I tell a lot of corny jokes. You may catch a French towel. I'm sorry.
You do comedy?
Let's hear a corny joke.
You look like a French toast type of guy in front of somebody's husband.
Ooh.
We got a lot of Jerry Springer stuff going on at the market. You know, but what happens at the market stays at the market. Uh-huh. At the French Toast tent, booth 41. You go follow us on Instagram at Local Artisan Foods. That's local with a K. L-O-K-A-L.
Look at that. Now, let's see if we get this one right.
You're not going to, so let her do it herself.
Amorous Pollock.
Oh, you got it right again.
Oh, my. That's two out of eight.
I know. So you can find me, as far as social media is concerned, you can find articles that I've written on Philly Grub, and you can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, Google+, etc., under Amorous Pollock, or ARPOLLOCKUS.
There you go. Well, it was a pleasure having everyone in studio.
Yeah.
And Glenn.
And Derek.
Like I said, it is sad news to hear of Fat Jack's, but how can people stay in touch with you?
Well, they can, listen, we're still doing catering, okay? They can go to Fat Jack's on Facebook. They can call me. I can give you my number out right now, 856-207-7725. We're still doing catering. I've got four or five jobs booked, pretty, you know, really nice jobs. Fat Jack's will be back very shortly. I still own the federal trademarks, so they're not going anywhere. And Fat Jack's isn't going anywhere. Just, you know, we're just regrouping. The concept's going to change. We're going to the next Fat Jack's is going to be more of a Chipotle kind of model, where you come up, you look at all the food out in front of you. How much brisket do you want? A pound? Chop, chop, chop. See you later. Move down the line. Just piles of brisket, piles of pork, piles of ribs, and that's the new Fat Jack's.
In the interim, can we order food from you since you still do the catering and just stock it up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in 2019, Glenn, and happy holidays. And there was a thrill, John Howard Fusco. Yep. He, as usual, it's a pleasure to hear from him. Chef Barbie Marshall, she is still on her Asia tour.
Yes, she is.
So she will join us again in 2019. Martina McBride was...
Thank you so much.
...a pleasure talking to us. Irene Levy-Baker was also a joy. And I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. Everyone have a happy holiday.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. We're live on Sundays, 6:35 p.m. on TuneIn Worldwide, iTunes the following day on all your Apple products, and syndicated on some AM stations. And just Google us and find out where they're at, because I don't remember.
And this is our last show of the year.
Our last show of the year. So we will see everybody again in 2019, January 6, 2019, we should be returning. And we, as Glenn was probably about to say, the number one Philadelphia food show in around. Google us and Bing us.
That's
and
right.
As usual, we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke tower, Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling, and this is Small Bites. A ham sandwich walks into a bar. The bartender says, "I'm sorry, we don't serve food."